email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again. Still with me here are Anne Rabbitt, Fianna Fáil Senator and Spokesperson on Social Protection, Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland TD for Roscommon Galway, Aubrey McCarthy, Independent Senator, and Sarah Burns, reporter with the Irish Times. The Dereliction and Building Regeneration Bill 2025, Sarah, what's it all about?
Yeah, this was before the Seanad today, and it sets out to identify, manage, restore and bring back into use derelict buildings. So it wants to simplify and expedite applications to refurbish or change the use of upper floors or over the shops for residential use by establishing within each local authority a special planning and building control approval system. And this would be known as the town centre first application process. So within the bill itself, I suppose there's a few different measures, but it would require councils to publish derelict sites registers online, and it would require councils to inform the minister when a site on the derelict register has been there for a period of 2 years.
Okay. Aubrey McCarthy, this you're a Seanador, and this was being debated today. I mean, look, just to put out the scale of it, there is anywhere between 80 to 164,000, depending on what estimate you look at. GeoDirectory says around, I think, 80 to 82,000. And the CSO says up to 164,000 vacant properties. None of the problems that the ESRI were outlining yesterday in the Dáil about, you know, the lack of water connection, the lack of infrastructure, apply to these properties. They would seem to be one of the quick fix solutions, and yet they're anything but that. Can you give us any insight into that? Because I suppose you're located in the city centre where your housing charity or the homeless charity you're involved in is, and obviously you're familiar with circumstances outside of Dublin as well. So give us your take on it.
So I took part in that debate this evening while the vote was going on in the Dáil. Then we had our debate about this new bill, and Senator Noonan, Nessa Cosgrave and Laura Harmon, they put forward this bill. And for me, working in housing and homelessness for the last 20 years, I mean, I love progression. And then when you were talking in the last discussion about 21 million liability here for PRSI, 3.6 million lost here, 100,000, I mean, all of those figures are life-changing for what I do. But I will say, measures are needed. Regeneration and vacancy and dereliction, all of that has to be dealt with. And also the renewal of the town centre. Even in my hometown of Naas, there's a lot of vacant properties over shops and that. So the infrastructure is there. However, the Chartered Institute of Chartered Surveyors, they released a report to saying the cost of doing up such properties, it's easier to build on a green field.
OK, but the grant, and I put this to you, Anne Robert, the grant has gone from 40 to 80,000 on this, and yet it doesn't seem to be getting people in. So that's the carrot. And then there's also the stick of the of a tax on vacant and derelict properties. So why aren't those two things combined working?
Well, would you believe it? This evening we actually had a meeting with Minister Brown, and we actually discussed over the town, over the shop unit. And to be honest with you, the cost of building has gone up so much that's why it had increased from the 40 to the 50 or the 50 to the 70 to meet the cost of building, and it's still going up. And that was one of the proposals this evening, that the minister would review the grants for over shop units to actually ensure that people could avail of them, because there is so many derelict vacant town centre properties that have their ESB connection, that have their water, that have their sewerage, that could shortfront, but it is the cost of building. And in actual fact, we have to incentivise as well local builders and rural areas to come on board to be able to do it. They're stripped out. They're here in the city building our carpenters and our plumbers. They're okay. Gone out of Ireland.
Michael Fitzmaurice, you know, that question about vacant properties, if those grants aren't being taken up and those units over shops and the like are left vacant longer, the costs are just going to keep going up, aren't they?
If I hear of another bit of legislation, I'll go in under the desk, because everything is about legislation and regulation.
The facts are that the
80,000 is a good grant, but the problem is to achieve these grants.
Yes.
The first thing is, and I'll give you an example.
Just lay out the stage. So when you say the problem is accessing the grant, what's the conditionality?
I'm going to try and tell you. The Croí Cónaithe is the equivalent to that in rural areas. I saw a guy that had a two-story house that was going to do it up. He was going spending the money. They had the money. The chimney was cracked 5 years before that. They took down the chimney, which governments actually don't want chimneys now, and they put slates up on it. They couldn't get the one part of the Croí Cónaithe, in some councils, not all, and this is what's wrong, wanted basically a certificate from the planning authority that everything was in compliance. And it held the whole job up because that person would have to go for full planning because they took down 2 foot of a chimney. That's the stupidity and the ideology that's going on in this country. And that's why Croí Cónaithe is being held up, and that's why the likes of this is being held up. What should happen is if there was no objection into a building in the last 10 years, an engineer certifies it, you go by the planning or the fire regs. That has to be done right. But after that, you get a certificate that you can go ahead.
All right.
And that's what's holding all this up. Pure bureaucracy and what departments and civil servants are dreaming up within to try and stall the ball and not spend the money.
Okay, we can put this out to the listeners, 51551 for your text, if you want to give us a picture of dereliction or vacancy, particularly vacancy where you are around the country, 0870 32 32 32, if you want to send us in just a picture of what maybe the centre of your town is like in terms of vacant properties in estates or vacant properties over shops. Yeah, Anne Robbie, you want to come in there?
There's an important point that Michael is after hitting on here. We have different standardisations and interpretations from one local authority to the other. And in actual fact, some local authorities do it really, really well and actually ensure that the Croí Cónaithe and would do exactly the same with this. But we have others who read it to the letter of the law and are actually gatekeepers. And you can actually see that they're not handing out the
funding. But what Michael said there was they're holding it up and they don't want to spend the money. Now, what local authority doesn't want to spend money and put housing units back on supply?
Because they put you through the rigmarole.
I just put ask Anne Rabbit that.
It's what I'm saying is they're reading it to their interpretation. It is open to interpretation. In actual fact, what needs to happen is, and Minister Brown will get the full support, I think he needs to issue a circular to every single local authority. He needs to take control of it, and I've no doubt he will. He's a stickler for detail. And when he issues that circular, what he needs to be saying is, this is the standard right across the country. This is what we expect you to do. This is, and as Mike says, once you ensure that the fire certs are correct and compliant, that should be our Bible, and we go from there. Houses that were built in 1970, houses that were built pre that, have different standards, the protective structures and all of that. What we really want to do is open the front doors and put people into them.
Okay.
I'll be Colin, I was talking today in the Shannon, and we heard loads of examples of people who had applied for the vacancy grant, the derelict grant for individual houses, and the grant is not workable. There's over 12,000 people had applied for it, and only 14,000, and there was only 1,400 payouts.
Right.
So by the time then it's been approved, and you nearly have to prove, you know, you have to give your firstborn and your blood type to get this grant. Mm. You're standing in a house with no roof and no windows, and you have to prove that it's derelict. So I think the idea, the press release, is really good. It's a wonderful grant, but the plumbing is not there to make it work. The scaffolding is not there, so it's not workable. So here we have this bill, which is a great idea, but I'm wondering if it's the same departments and local authorities, it's not workable. They might have the budget. They might have, for example, I know the council has a budget to CPO, but when they CPO certain properties, then they don't have the budget to refurbish them, and they're left sitting idle. So there needs to be joint up thinking in certainly in those areas.
All right. The number of properties that have been reported through revenues, vacant homes tax portal is 50,000. Approximately, this is according to a document by Social Justice Ireland, drawing on the revenue data, 5,000 declared as vacant, and amongst these, 2,000 properties have claimed an exemption from the tax, leaving around 3,000 properties with the liability to pay tax. But it seems the enforcement of that is another issue.
It is, but if you listen today, Ishka, Aaron, have asked for 2 billion to improve the infrastructure for building more houses. They don't need that infrastructure for these. So I've a housing emergency accommodation list of over 15,000 here. So that could be wiped out if money was focused in this area. Even the putting shops back to residential accommodation, that created 3,500 units. So it's a positive road, but it's a long way to go.
There's one thing we need to be mindful of as well. And while everything Aubrey has said is 100% right, that's low-hanging fruit, to be quite frank about it, because all the services are there. We're ready to go. But if you look at it, we're talking about building 50,000 houses. We're talking about doing SEAI or making houses warmer and all this crack that Eamon Ryan was on about. And then we're talking about bringing all these back. We better start slicing the tradespeople in two, because I'll tell you, they're not around.
Okay, here a couple of people at Late Debate RT and Blue Sky. Somebody says, I recently bought a vacant property. Grants are incredibly difficult to leverage, as was told by a one-stop shop. I need all the funds up front. Also, the price uplift on energy measures was unacceptable, says Shona on Blue Sky. Anybody, just give us a bit of an... Anybody want to take that one? The price uplift on energy measures was unacceptable. What's the...
Yes, I'm hearing that it's actually, from people, it's actually cheaper to get your insulation, external insulation done without the grant.
Yeah.
If you pay up front. If you go with the grant, the installers add the grant to it. So even that's a farce. The only people that are benefiting from these grants are the suppliers and the installers, not the homeowners.
And there's only a certain amount as well on the list. You know, it isn't a big list for all of this, but she's 100% right in what she's saying. That person that sent in the comment, because what's happening is look at the same as going at the moment nearly in slag sheds for farmers. If you look what the grant is and what to do all the work is, and dipping it and all that crack, if you didn't go without it and went for your ordinary bog standard one, you'd work out maybe cheaper and you'd have it done.
Colm, it's important to say that...
Well, here's a Galway listener. You can incorporate this one into your answer, and Michael as well. I know, yeah. You're in the bind of... I might get you on this, the dual local authorities and whether or not there's differing standards between them that we're talking about there with the two.
Okay,
we're just... the Galway listener, the vacancy grant and derelict grant is great, but we have to spend the money first to get, and to get 50,000 is hard, and it includes VAT, so we only get 40,000 worth of labour and supplies. That's the Galway listener.
Yeah, that
with whom, of course, you naturally sympathise greatly.
Completely, but I'll tell you, it was something I brought up myself this evening. We need to get the credit unions back more into the space as well, for the simple reason being is the banks won't lend the money. They have to have it spent up front. So for them to get a mortgage or anything else like that, they can't rely on that money as the extra funding. So we need to find an enabler that is actually able to let them borrow the money and then be used that as sort of like a bridging term loan for all intensive purposes. What I was also going to say is we didn't object to the bill this evening that Malcolm brought forward. We are supportive. It was a timed amendment. And the reason being is that Minister Brown will be coming forward. It is a focus of his because there's so many vacancies.
Sarah, what we heard at the committee from the Central Bank yesterday, the ESRI one, you know, they're talking about the three pillars they were looking at was using modern methods of construction, improving the planning system and investing in infrastructure. And yet here is this cohort of houses that doesn't need any of that. And it's as stuck as any other part of the housing.
Yeah, and even as I was listening to those listeners' comments come in, like I know one of my own friends like that, they bought a vacant house and they've had it, I think, over a year now, and they're waiting for that grant to come through and they just have to sit there in this freezing house, you know.
Well, here's a listener in. I'm currently renting a two-bed house myself while my new home sits empty as unable to renovate. I mean, Aubrey, you were saying that you're obviously dealing with Centre City Properties, which you said you're originally from Naas. So, I mean, there's no shortage of vacancy in either place. But to hear a listener saying that you know, but they're effectively now holding down two properties, one in the rental area, and they can't move into their own.
So if you even look, there's 6,500 approved grants out there that haven't been paid out. So if you put two per household, that's 13,000 people. I think, and I suggested it to the minister this evening in the Shannon debate, a phased payment of the grant is something that should be seriously considered.
Okay.
One thing that they could look at is, what Aubrey said, if you have to put windows in it, when you have the windows done, you can pay them. So the same 10 grand or 12 grand or 15 grand, you can move on to the next. And if they've done things like that. But the big problem is, I have a person today that was, they are renting, they put in Roscommon for the, basically, the go-ahead from the planning. And as per usual in Roscommon in the planning, they'll send out the things, there was maybe some bit of a porch or a window a different in size, so go off for planning. And if this crack continues, we'll go nowhere. And if we don't put the boot in and change, basically, give the go ahead.
Okay,
just
be specific. When you say put the boot in, what specifically? We have to
listen. If there's no objection to a house and it's sitting there for 10 years, well, obviously no one had a problem with it for 10 years. So then it's plan and comply. Like, there's no point in going back. You won't be able to knock it. After 7 years, it's over. So let's give a certificate. Get them rolling quick. Get them doing the work quick.
Okay.
And if we don't start that crack, we're going to be still talking about it in 5 years' time.
Okay. A house in Remelton, only 27 years old, received a derelict grant because it took 2 years to sell and no one lived there during this time, says Joe. Yeah. Which is a different issue. Mm. It seems the implication.
That's the vacant grant. Yeah, derelict and vacant.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, somebody else, Aubrey, maybe you'll take this because it's Dublin related. I live in Dublin 8. The amount of unused buildings are crazy. North side of the Liffey, from Dublin City Council offices, the Customs House, is about 40 empty buildings. Some of them in very poor condition. There's not a street that doesn't have empty buildings, says Gerald by email.
I have the Lighthouse in Dublin. We feed up to 500 people a day. You have people in a queue outside. While I drive there to feed the homeless, you pass all of these vacant and derelict. Look at Baggot Street Hospital, for God's sake. You know, the thing is, unless something's going to get done with it, it's just going to fall on the floor. I'm saying there's opportunities here, and we need to, we're talking about the Apple money, we're talking about all these the different money that's available. I'm telling you, you need to refurbish, you need to regenerate the town centres. And you remember when we had the exemption for Ukrainians so that you could adjust accommodation, and it was planning exempt. So that sort of thinking and joint up thinking needs to be used for regenerating old properties.
Okay. I'll throw this one out to all of you. There needs to be a law introduced compelling councils to build a minimum number of houses for the next 10 years. Obviously, you know, the means allowed.
Hang on a second.
Text not finished. Only compulsion will work. Council have sites and land. And I suppose this is the last bit, is the relevant bit. CPO on derelict properties. Michael Fitzmaurice.
First of all, a council has a budget. And the Department of Housing will be telling you have to do this, that and the other. If you go over that budget, you're gone. So the budget, that you know, the second part about it is, let's go to a simpler one. Let's go to the houses when someone leaves it. It takes a full year. Why? Because first of all, the department will only give them 15,000, even though it could cost 70,000 to do it up. Where has councils the money to put the gap in of that 50,000 of a difference multiplied by all the houses?
How is it then that there is a vacant property grant of, you know, 70,000 to 80,000 euro, and when local councils are applying for,
they don't get it.
They get the money, that they're told is it 12,000 euro?
I think it's 11,000.
Well, 15, I thought it was.
Right.
And then
anyway,
and then you have to go on Mr. Ryan's instructions, where you have to do
the electric heaters. You miss him.
That, it's costing 70,000 to 80,000 more. So what they're doing is, and council people have told me, what they're doing is they're picking the best houses, and the rest of them are being left there.
Yeah.
But even if you look at the CPO that happened on opposite the Abbey Theatre with the Plough Pub, so the council took that on board. They had it for, I think it's since 2017, and they sold it and lost $380,000. So I don't think the council's remit should be CPO.
Okay, well, there's
I think you should use the private sector.
Here's one. The Wexford People today at 10 o'clock. A derelict building purchased by Wexford County Council has been sold for $18,000 over its asking price. The council acquired 6 King Street Upper in Wexford Town by way of derelict site's compulsory purchase order on February 7, 2025 from Lawrence O'Connor. The property was identified as being suitable for acquisition under urban regeneration and development, which requests local authorities to act as the conduit for getting long-term vacant and derelict properties into ownership of those who will return them to use. But this one was sold rather than being returned to use. Now, maybe that generated much needed revenue. Maybe we're back to the problem with funding a local authority.
Well, to be honest with you, the minister this evening spoke about his own county of Wexford, and he spoke about the CEO that's down there and how he turned over 1,000 turnkeys last year between vacancies and everything else. So Wexford, that I don't understand, but the minister spoke about. What I do want to come back to you here, Colm, is some of our vacant properties as well, they have a status of being protected structures. Yeah. And some people get very precious about, and I'm saying something totally that's not palatable with some, that the protected structure needs to be protected, and we need to remember all of that. We are in a housing crisis. Mm. We have an emergency. I do think our local authorities need to come down off their high horses, and a lot of others along with it.
There is also, people would say, protecting the character, and, you know, Sarah, that people, there's protecting the character of the centre of the town. So that the long-term investment.
Can I give you an instance? I know a protected structure. that if they went by the book of what they were to do, it was 90,000 to do the roof, they went up and they'd done it themselves ordinary at 30,000. Now, how can ordinary people pay the difference of 60,000? Second of all, a lot of the buildings that's around the country, when you analyse those buildings, there could be structural defects in them as well, and some of them are very old that need ferocious changing round. If you knock that and you're going apartments, we can't afford to build apartments at the moment in this country because they're costing, I think it's in Spain, it was 1,200 per square metre. And in Ireland, we had moved to three. Spain,
all right.
And in Ireland, because of all the regs and whatever, we're at 3,800. Right. So where are we going building apartments?
And when you talk about local authorities having plenty of land, we in Galway have only 66 acres in the whole of the county. I'm leaving the city separate, but in Galway County Council at the moment, they've only 66 acres that they own themselves to actually put in 2,000. So we have to be looking at the alternative.
Do you know the tally of vacant houses in Galway?
Not the complete.
Do you know the vacant tally in your constituency?
But I will say one thing. Everyone is talking about the council doing this for social housing. What about the poor devils that are out working every day?
Affordable housing.
Because in most areas, I see in County Galway, most areas, bear you're in a big town, you won't get in under affordable housing.
I suppose people
not matter as well?
What people might argue that the grant that's targeted, the 80,000 euro grant, is targeted.
But you have to buy a house first.
To get the house up
you have
and
to
running.
Buy it, and you have to redo it.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have to front load all the expenditure. And that's why phasing the grant is essential. But you're talking about affordable housing. I'm chair of Bluebell City Community Council, and we're doing...
That's in Inchicore in Dublin.
Dublin 12. So we're doing 388 units of housing, and they're meant to be social housing and affordable housing. But we've done an assessment on the affordability, and you want to be on 70,000 or something as an individual to be able to afford the affordable housing.
Yeah.
So the calculations are all wrong. Right. We're really looking at that with the LDA and DCC, but affordable housing is not so affordable.
We have another listener here. Tried rating the upstairs over a shop. It has to be approved even though it's rented and the tenants are registered with the PRTB. Council don't believe you that it's no longer commercial. The regulations are heartbreaking, time-consuming and costly, says
there's one common denominator, what we've said earlier on. Planning, regulations, red tape and BS.
A circular from the minister is required to standardise how we do our business. Cut out the bureaucracy.
All right. In the city centre, though, Aubrey McCarthy, obviously a lot of the buildings are going to be protected structures. There will have to be co-funding by either central government or the local authority in order to maintain the character of these buildings as well as bring them back into use. I mean, is that something that's even been explored at the moment?
It wasn't part of the debate today, but if you look around Merrion Square and you look at George and Dublin, and a lot of that was annihilated because of poor planning. So I absolutely agree with heritage and protection of structures, but I do think you can go overboard on this. Deputy Michael says a lot of BS regarding it, and I think we're regulating the regulations. Mm. So people are just getting tired and they're not able to afford it. And then even the vacancy grant, as you mentioned, that people are getting, by the time they finally get it, the builder's moved on and the building project has gone up $5,000 or $6,000.
But when I talk about protect it, like some of your local authorities will ensure that you want to use a lime render. They won't accept ordinary cement that you'd want to use. They would want to have the lead in the glass, like would have been there 100 years ago. Ordinary glass is not acceptable. And they would want you to use the current timber works in the winding structures, as opposed it would be way cheaper to get it made.
Which I'm sure people would say, if you want to give me the money to do that, I'm happy to do it and live there.
The problem is it's not there. The money, don't give them the money to do this, is what they're putting costs down them. And we have buildings listed in this country, and I know every 5 years councils get the chance. And I'll tell you one thing,
you'd delist a few of them, would you?
Well, that absolutely is for sure.
But also, Colin, you saw the case recently where the couple, it was in Dublin, I think it was
the
Dublin.
The cladding killed a man on the outside of the house.
They insulated the house. They followed the rule to the letter of the law, and they flipping were, they were threatened with jail if they didn't take it down. So you're looking for a circular.
Yeah. And they've been allowed to retain that now, and they were delighted, not to mention relieved.
But imagine the pain of going
through. Oh, no, it was massively stressful. Yeah, thinking that they would have to rip it off or potentially pay for it and go to jail. Anyway, deep breaths, everyone. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.